It's time for some Collective Wisdom, a podcast advancing the cannabis revolution one conversation at a time. We all benefit from sharing knowledge and experiences. So if you want to learn about the business of cannabis from those in the trenches, you've come to the right place. Here's your host, Lisa Tolner, co-founder of SensiChew.
Our conversation today is at the California Buyers Club with Melahat Rafi'i. She is Director of Government Relations for WeCan and for SACA, which stands for the Santa Ana Cannabis Association. She's their lead advocate and lobbyist, and at one time she even had the fourth dispensary in Santa Ana. So she's learned from the trenches what it's like to be in this industry real time as a businesswoman in the cannabis space. Melahat provides a unique bridge between cannabis and policy guidance and advocacy for regulating the market. So it's really valuable to have people like Melahat on our side. Melahat, welcome to Collective Wisdom.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I want to dive into a few questions. And one thing that you're heavily involved in and that I think our listeners would like to understand more is how educating policymakers is essential so they really know what's going on.
Yeah. Legalizing cannabis actually started years ago. We know this. It was 21, 23 years ago where this started. And in Orange County, in Santa Ana, we had a measure on the ballot in 2014. Before Prop 68, before the whole state went towards that movement. And the biggest question the policymakers had is, who's the right people to be in the city? Who should we be dealing with? What's right? What's wrong? And what we learned in Santa Ana was they started with these really draconian rules and laws, and it led to them realizing when you don't treat this industry like any other industry, it's not going to benefit the city the way you want it to, especially with the revenues that you want. They just want to be educated, and we've seen since then, since it's been half a decade now, the trend from policymakers now is they want to be our advocate. When I go to Sacramento now, they're fighting. The members of the Assembly and the members of the Senate are fighting about who could carry our water. And so we've come quite a long way with these policymakers in this past half a decade where they were afraid of it. They were banning it in every municipality that they could, and the illicit market was thriving. And once we started the regulation, and once they started to see the benefits of the regulation, not just the revenues into their coffers, but, you know, safety goes up. In every city and every municipality across the country that you have regulated cannabis, crime goes down. And then they also see the opioid use drops. And by 40% in some places. So these are multiple benefits to the municipalities and the cities, and the policymakers are getting pretty hip to it.
Yes. Well, it completely makes sense because it's been demonized for so long. Policymakers have been terrified about it. Everyone was not in my backyard, right? Somebody else, the city, can take care of it. Mm-hmm. So now that they're really learning to embrace it, they're seeing the benefits. And so it's, you know, about time is how we all feel.
Yeah.
Now, as you're moving forward and you're having this dialogue and conversations with legislators, are there still some areas where there tends to be more confusion than others? I know, obviously, the vape issue right now is one where the cannabis space got lumped in with the greater e-cigarette group, mm-hmm. and we're working hard to change those attitudes. Are there still a few holdouts that you feel on a legislative standpoint that are still holding us back?
Well, part of it is still a lack of understanding. What I love doing is taking elected officials who don't have dispensaries, retail dispensaries in their cities on tours in Santa Ana and in Long Beach for them to see what the possibilities are. The vaping issue is exactly one of the ones that makes clear point of the confusion by people when you do an all-out ban, how dangerous that could be for the entire industry. But what I like to do is reverse it and use it as an opportunity for us to put our neck on the back of the policymakers and say, look, because you failed to regulate in this space, there are now people out there with untested product and consumers are being affected because you failed to do so. Because they're so scared, they just keep pushing it off and pushing it off and pushing it off. You know, what they're worried about is their next reelection. And you'll witness that, you know, if the primary is in March, everything needs to get done before the end of this year. If we're dealing with November, better get it done by the first quarter of the next year so that it's not on voters' mind when they go to the ballot box. And it's about changing that. I think part of our responsibility as leaders in this industry and as advocates is the normalization of cannabis in every space. Whether we're okay with people drinking a glass of wine and we should be okay with them having a joint or smoking out of a vape or having a Sensi chew to relax at night. And part of it is people like us who don't look like the stereotypical moniker of someone who's a cannabis consumer is helpful. And this goes with the policymakers too. As they're seeing moms, dads, teachers, nurses, veterans all going to this for whatever reason they're going for it, they're also moving with it. I know a lot of policymakers who are also now consumers. Because it's better than alcohol for most things. It's much better than the opioids people are taking for pain management and insomnia and other things.
Talk to us a little about the illegal market and what we can do on the legislative side to help educate them, drive them, because that is such a contentious point right now for anyone in the legal market who's fought hard, they've worked hard, they've invested everything they can, and still the illicit market not only is taking business away, but creating a black eye for the industry. What can we do with legislators to get them to get it so that they get behind it and help to reduce the size
of the... They're theoretically behind it, but having the will is to make it happen is another. What we are doing our best to do now is educate them on the fact that the taxes rates is so high on the regulated market, the consumer's going to go buy their product at what the most cost effective for them. Of course, safety is a concern, but some consumers don't even know the difference between a permitted shop and a non-permitted shop. So we've seen that problem. I think that they see the funds not coming into their... It's a theft of public funds when these illegal businesses are operating. They are taking revenue out of the pocket of the city that is dealing with the roads and the public safety and so on and so forth. And when you present it to the policymakers that way and try to give them different options on how to shut down this rogue market, because in Santa Ana, after 2.5 years, 3 years, they finally shut down the rogue shops. But they popped up as deliveries, you know, so it still exists. I do believe it's incremental. The number one way to get rid of the illicit market is to have a regulated market. And the best way to have your regulated market thrive is for it to be like any other industry, where it's not overtaxed, where the regulations are not so onerous that average people can't get into the industry. We already have an issue with our banking. So it's an industry that has way too many asterisks next to it. And our job is to remove that and normalize it.
Yes, yes. What's your take on weed maps?
Well, I think they could have been one of the greatest socially conscious companies in this industry, and I think they fell short. You know, like I said, it is a theft of public funds when these unpermitted shops exist. And if you've got a place like LA that's got a regulated market and Santa Ana and other places, then there's no need for a legal shop. There's that argument of access is not necessarily one that's going to work. But weed maps contribute to that greatly. Where does everybody go to find their weed?
Yeah, I know.
You know, I believe that they have a strong corporate responsibility that they're falling a little bit short on. And I hope that with the intention to stop advertising, which I don't know the timeline, you may know, but the intention to stop advertising those illicit businesses, they will start to take that responsibility of being such a big player in this space. They really are, and they have a lot of influence on policymakers. They've been funding candidates and PACs for years, and they're very smart about it. I would hope that they would do it in a way that was better for just society.
If you could change one thing in the cannabis market today, obviously we have lots of changes. There's lots of things we want. But if there was one thing that you could change today that you think would really impact and improve at least outcomes for the next 6 to 12 months, what would you change?
Tax rates. Tax rates, tax rates, tax rates, followed very closely with banking.
I think we all agree with you on that point, Melahat.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm a very, very liberal Democrat, and I never thought I'd be running around talking about bringing taxes down. It does not work for the industry.
Anyone.
No, we still have this rogue market. People are getting sick. Money is not going into the city's coffers like they needed to pay for the roads and the schools and the public safety and everything else. And again, Weed Maps is fueling a lot of this, but they're advertising.
Well, it's one of those counterintuitive things, right? You think that if you raise taxes enough, you'll get what you need. But in this particular instance, a burgeoning market, we need the support where the support is needed most. And overtaxing that side of the business is, it's just counterproductive.
Yeah.
Well, Melahat, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
I enjoyed our conversation and you sharing your wisdom. Is there a place where folks can reach out to you or to SACA?
Yeah, absolutely. The Santa Ana Cannabis Association's website is sacannabis.org. And my company is WeCan. It's two N's. And it's wecan.biz, WECAN.biz. You can contact us through there and reach me as well. And I'm happy to help anyone who needs some guidance going through these municipalities, or even if you want to run for office and you need some tips on how to approach the industry. We do a lot of work with that. And we've seen a huge shift with candidates wanting to be, again, an advocate for this industry. But now our responsibility is to explain to them what that means.
Well, Melahat, it's been a pleasure meeting you and hearing all the important work that you're doing and advocacy that you're doing for our industry. We're very grateful.
That's this week's episode of the Collective Wisdom Podcast. Join us each week for another episode on OC Talk Radio, streaming on Thursdays at 3 p.m., and you can download Collective Wisdom wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to visit cacollectivewisdom.com or email us at collectivewisdompodcast@gmail.com to join the conversation. Thank you for listening.